Three. Hey, I said cue the talent. Two. And one.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everyone? It's time for The Hype, episode number 105. We missed you guys live yesterday on YouTube because it was all about Zion yesterday. We got sore hands ripping through all these packs. Contenders draft, brand new 1920s contenders draft that just came out yesterday. We're going to go ahead and talk about the Zion mania. Are the prices, are they worth it? What do we see in the future? Talk about some early listings that ended, and we're also going to get into a little bit more of Trimgate. There was another news that broke today about some more trimming cards. Dan, what's going down, dude?
What up? We're going to talk about Zion?
We're going to talk about Zion.
We're going to talk about Zion. We're going to talk about basketball.
All year.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Fingers hurt a little bit. Eyeballs hurt a little bit. We went through a little bit of Contenders Draft yesterday. What do you think?
A little bit?
A little bit. What do you think? Is it everything you thought it was going to be?
You know, it was Contenders Draft regular.
Is Zion officially the greatest basketball player ever to play?
He is. He's a move over LeBron, move over Jordan, move over Luka. I mean, Luka who? I mean, nobody even cares about Luka anymore. It's all about Zion.
So, I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's still some 18-19 releases left.
There is?
Yeah, we're not done yet.
What? How?
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. We have limited resources. I mean, I don't know about you. I don't have millions and millions of dollars to spend on sports cards. So what do I do?
I think you
do I just like Luka and Trey? That's so last year. I gotta.
Well, you don't. You said you don't have $1 million, but I think you may. You know, if you have $100,000, you can maybe drop that bid on that Zion that's up there. There's 4 days left. It's number 3 of 5. It's got a sticker on it. It's a really, really nice sticker. It's probably the best sticker Panini's ever put on a card. And it's currently sitting at $99,900.
You know that.
So, I mean, you said you didn't have millions, but maybe if you could sell your car, I could sell my car, maybe my wife's car. And we can go ahead and drop a bid on that bad boy. What do you think? A good investment?
Oh, yeah. It can only go up.
Can only go up from there, right?
Can only
right?
go up.
First on eBay, it's got to be worth a lot.
So that auction, what are we looking at here? What's a cracked ice LeBron Williamson going for?
LeBron Williamson. You know, there's nothing that's ended quite yet. There was a green optic contenders.
Where are these cards going to be at in 2 weeks?
It'd be hard to say.
That's what we're here for.
A base auto sold for $1,000. A base on card sold for $1,000 or best offer. There was a green optic, which is the shiny version, on card that was numbered to 5 that sold for around $8,000, which is a lot higher than anybody predicted. Obviously, you know, we were joking around about the $100,000 listing. There is no chance that guy gets paid. There was some legitimate bidders on there. There was one guy with 24,000 feedback on that thing. If you're catching this, we're doing this show on Thursday, football day. But if you're catching this, you might be able to see this, follow this listing to the end in the next few days. I think it's got about 4 days left, so you can look at it. It's 3 of 5 draft day Zion ticket. If you haven't already seen it, it's been floating around all the social media outlets, and it's a big joke. It went up and it went to 60,000 like right away, and it's kind of hung around 99,000. The guy's from Hong Kong. Do you think the guy already has his money spent?
I think he does. Let's break down the analytics here. How many cases did we break yesterday?
We broke 13 cases, I believe.
13 cases. How many Zion James did we pull?
Zion James, we pulled two.
Pulled two. All right, all right. Cases seem to be trending at like $3,100 right now.
$3,600.
$3,600.
Yeah.
And
$3 a box.
And one out of seven, you're going to get, on average, small sample size, because we've only opened up, you know, 13, 14 cases, you're going to get $1,000 card.
Well, I mean, we don't know what the other guys are going to sell for. There's some buzz on RJ Barrett's cards. There's some buzz on, you know, Rui Hachimura. There's some buzz on Reddish as well. So, I mean, there's other guys you can hit besides Zion. I know everybody's kind of looking at Zion.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Bronny Z is...
You're going to run out of names. Is it going to be King Williamson next?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean...
Can I take that one from you?
Bronny Z.
Ronny Z, man, I mean, it is officially that this, there's not been, you know, we there hasn't been this hype of any player since we've started. You know, we started breaking in 2010.
I'm just hoping, you know, we can talk about him more.
But, you know, we're going to let
him. I'm hoping we're 6 minutes and 30 seconds into it, and I'm hoping we can just keep on saying his name.
Zion, Zion, Zion.
It's like Beetlejuice, dude. You say it three times, just magically appears.
Dude, how many people are going to get into this hobby based on just this Contenders draft release? How many of their friends are going to... How many of the people that... Well, the people that hit the Zion cards are going to tell their friends that I just hit, and they... you know, everybody's showing everybody the listing, right? Even though it's fake. Like, we can kind of say that $100,000 listing is somewhat fake.
Do you think that this is going to cross over to your regular everyday life? Like, obviously, we're here. We talk sports cards a lot. We're in the shop. We're breaking, stuff like that. But very rarely when I leave do I have people come up to me and talk about sports cards. Are we going to hit that point where you're just... in line at Togo's, just getting a sandwich, and people in front of you are talking about Zion baseball or basketball cards? Are we at that point?
It's gonna get close. I mean, yeah, I mean, we got.
And I don't know why I just plugged Togo's. I was just thinking, like, it's a good sandwich.
Well, you gotta. What the one thing to put in perspective, and I know we're all over the place. There's so many thoughts that I have in my head.
No, it's all, just Zion. We're all Z dub.
But, like, we're not even playing basketball right now. There's not even basketball games going on. Can you imagine? You know, I know a lot of you guys want out there now because Zion's been so unobtainable that everybody wants him to be kind of a bust at this point. But let's just say he's not. Then you might see that Togo's conversation where Zion comes out and he scores 30 points and he has like five poster dunks. He's dunking over Rudy Gobert and it's on SportsCenter, top five plays every night. Then what is this card going
to
be that?
I think in order to be a top player in the league, you got to have an outside shot. And I hate to rain on everybody's parade right now, but I think he's going to have to develop that. Also, there is concerns. There has to be concerns about his health. I know he's only been hurt twice, and once was when his shoe blew up.
Those conversations can be had about any player, but what
do we do? What do we do if... a month into the season, he's out for the year. And I know you're probably going to be like, oh, well, people are just going to... it's going to stay hyped until the following year. Like, him playing is almost better for the market of his cards because there's the uncertainty of what he can be. But... or what if he comes out and he's averaging 8 points and four boards and he can't even get enough playing time? What if he basically is the worst player on his team? What if he starts moving down the bench?
I think it would take months for that to happen.
Do you think the Pelicans are going to go, you know what, we're rolling.
I don't think they're going to give him a minute restriction.
Is it ride or die? Is it ride or die with Zion?
I think you got to. I mean, they lost AD. They're kind of in rebuild mode with the players they got from the Lakers and some of the free agents they signed. They're in rebuild mode, but they're going to build that team around Zion. So he's going to have every opportunity to be who he is expected to be. I mean... LeBron James averaged 20-something points his rookie season. So if you're comparing, you know, LeBron and Zion, like we've been talking...
It's a different... I know it's not really that long ago. What are we talking, like...
2004, yeah.
15 years ago? It's a different league. There's different sets of rules.
It is, but...
It's a different league. You can't compare the two.
But the league can go back to being that league of 2003-04 as well. Or earlier with Shaq dominating. You could have... possible big man, because right now everybody's drafting small shooters, right? You got the Trae Youngs, you got Steph Curry killing
it. Has Shaq ever had a card that sold for $8,000?
No. Well, probably
maybe
not.
Maybe a logo man. But Shaq is one of the best big men of all time.
Yeah. I mean, Zion's not a big man, though.
Yeah, but are we basically... I mean, but you would think that
the reason I'm saying...
Everybody goes like... Zion's one of those guys when people talk to him who are pro Zion. He's everything.
Yeah.
He's great. He's a small guy, small forward, power forward, big guy. He does everything. He can't do anything wrong. We need to pump the brakes a little bit. Watch him play. We'll see how he.
Well, all the tape we have on him, he's dominating, right? I mean, he's been dominating. So
Duke won the national title, huh?
No, they didn't.
They didn't. Yeah. Wow. Well, if he was dominating, then he would have dominated his team into a national title.
Well, has Mike Trout won a championship? And he's the highest selling guy in baseball.
Mike Trout is a better baseball player than Zion Williams is a basketball player.
Well, you've got years on that. You can't really use that as a comparison. People do collect guys that don't win championships. It's people collect guys.
Rookies? Out of the gate? Like, dude, we're inducting the guy into the Hall of Fame and he hasn't even stepped on the court yet. He's probably most famous right now and just... You know, outside of the sports culture, he's probably most famous for having his shoe blow up. That's probably, if people say Zion Williamson, and you talk to somebody who's not a big sports fan, you're like, oh, you remember that guy whose shoe exploded? They probably know that more than they know anything else.
That was a big game, but I think people knew him before that. I mean, the media
I don't think the fringe sports fans knew or cared.
Let's just Zion Let's face it. The Warriors were on the fifth or sixth year of their run in the NBA, and everybody beyond Warrior fans were Warrior fans were kind of tired of the NBA. So I think that they latched on to this next coming of a player, hoping that the next generation is going to change and it's going to be a different type of basketball. We've already seen a lot of changes in the NBA. We've seen a lot of more movement to compete with the Warriors. Kevin Durant's gone now. You've got LeBron and AD teaming up. And then you have Zion coming in. So I think there's going to be some good basketball. And I think that people were kind of tired of the Warriors winning constantly, and everybody knew that it was going to be the Warriors again. And you had the Raptors that won, and now you have the next generation of a guy.
Your team needs to be successful to translate into a strong card market for that said player. So what if they go out and what if the Pelicans they win 30 games?
I don't think they're expected to make the playoffs, and I don't think collectors are expecting Zion to make the playoffs his first year. I think Luka didn't make the playoffs, and his card's held pretty strong.
If Zion doesn't average 10 points a game and his team wins 30 games, buying his contender's auto for $1,000, does that look like a good investment?
Hard to say, man.
I could find guys who are in dollar bins who average 10 points in the NBA and are on shitty teams.
Yeah. I agree. But it's Zion. It is Zion, though. I mean, and I'm not a fan, and I'm not a hater. I'm in the middle. I'm waiting. I'm seeing. I got my popcorn ready. I'm waiting for Zion. I'm waiting for the first couple games of Zion to see what he can do in the NBA.
Yeah, it's
real NBA talent.
We should wait. Everybody should wait.
But collectors are seeing that if this guy is LeBron, you go back and you look at LeBron's first autos. You go look at back LeBron's RPAs. Those things are crazy. So that people are looking at it like a $1,000 investment.
I don't think there was as many releases.
I mean, we'll have to see the numbers. Yeah, I agree. There wasn't breaking, obviously.
So where is this card going to stand in the whole category of all 1920 releases? Where are the contenders' draft cards going to be?
Well, people were...
On the bottom tier...
But you damn well know, we had midway through the last season with Luka, we had people asking when the first Zion cards were coming out. So we had people waiting basically for 7-8 months waiting for this product to come out. Maybe it's not the best one you want to keep and hold on to.
I remember 17-18 around the same time. It always happens when the NCAA tournament's going on. You always have guys who are kind of shining,
yeah,
right? And then you always have people who are speculating. Because I remember 17-18, people were talking about, man, when that Trae Young kid comes out, he's going to be one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, but there's always been, like, a group of five guys that, like, Trey Young or Jaren Jackson, or, you know, there wasn't one. This was like, this is the guy. He's the MVP. Like, he is the guy that everybody's collecting. He stood out above the rest.
I'm going to make a bold prediction.
All right, let's do it.
Zion will not win Rookie of the Year.
Mm, okay.
Zion will not win Rookie of the Year.
I say he will.
He will not win Rookie of the Year. Period. Oh. And what does that do for his cards? Do people not care? Are we going back? Are we going to go back to where shooting
but Rookie matter? Of the Year doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to...
Tyreek Evans.
Yes.
I knew where you're going to go.
I mean, even Blake Griffin. I mean, he had a little bit of hype, but Blake Griffin's not even in a top 20, top 30 player in the year.
Don't you see a little comparison between Blake Griffin and Zion Williamson as a ball player?
Could be, yeah.
Don't you see a little bit of that?
I mean, Blake Griffin isn't as strong, isn't as wide, isn't as... I mean, but that's what's funny, is that you...
Blake Griffin jumped over a Kia and dunked the ball.
I get it. See, you're not an Apple fan. You don't like to go with the masses, and that's why you're taking this approach.
No, that's not...
But, to use your words, you have said that you would have LeBron over Jordan as all time, right?
Yeah, I like...
So, with that body mold style... Who's the guy that has came out in the last 5 years that's that body style?
But
Zion.
Okay.
Big guy, athletically gifted, naturally.
Not the same type of player.
Well, it's still early in his career. He could be a LeBron type of player. He's got the blocks that LeBron does.
I'll say LeBron did.
Have a jump
his
shot.
His outside shot got better. But I view LeBron as being more. He's more athletic.
But does LeBron
when he was younger, he was athletic. He wasn't like, he's bigger now. He's thicker now. Zion's already thick. Where's Zion gonna be in 5 years? He's not a real slender dude. Is he gonna be shape a little bit?
Let's hope he doesn't get Big Baby Davis status. But to what? So are you saying that he needs a jump shot? Does LeBron have a great jump shot?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, he does.
He's not the best in the league. It's pretty serviceable.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It's good.
But he wasn't known for that early on.
But LeBron also has the above the shoulders aspect of basketball. You know,
where he cries.
No,
he
cries, but, he gets fouled. But he understands the game. He knows. He controls it. He's controlled the game at a young age. Where is Zion going to be able to go in and be able to control a game? Is he going to be able to control a game? He's going to know every aspect of the game. He can control it.
We don't know that yet. We don't know. He could. But if you follow the money that Nike gives out, it actually directly reflects most of the highest selling guys in
Nike
the NBA.
Nike looks at it and goes, you know what? This guy's going to sell us a shit ton of shoes.
Right. And that sells a shit ton of cards, too.
But they are like, he can sell, as long as we get our money and our marketing out of a 3 to 4 year contract, we don't give a crap what he does in his career.
I don't know. They don't just go out and sign, like, just scrub guys to Nike deals, though.
Zion better go out there and start breaking some backboards.
You better
go out there and start breaking some backboards, because that's what's going to bring people in there.
But
he
if you look
at Shaq, let's start breaking some backboards.
Nike basketball athletes. They've got Kobe, they've got Jordan, they've got LeBron. And Zion's there.
Well, they have some other
guys. They might have some scouts.
They got some other guys too that you are not mentioning. Their roster isn't they don't just get the best of the best. There's some guys who are sporting Nikes who are probably on Nike's payroll who are not that great.
Oh, Giannis is Nike too, so I forgot about that. So yeah, you got and KD. So you've got KD. So I'm just saying.
I thought KD was Adidas.
No. His 13th shoe came out this year.
What about some other guys?
I'm looking it up. I'm trying to see.
They're not. I mean, of course they're going to highlight the best of the best.
Well, Jordan's deal is $110 million a year. LeBron James is $32 million a year. Kevin Durant's $25 million a year. Kobe Bryant's $16 million a year. James Harden, he's Adidas. Steph Curry's Under Armour. Damian Lillard, Adidas. Kyrie Irving's Nike. Paul George, Nike. Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony are Nike. Now, I mean, can you say that maybe Carmelo was a bad deal for Nike? I mean,
it's no Puma.
So, I mean, I don't know. All I'm saying is that if you look at the history of the guys that Nikes have signed to exclusives, that can directly correlate with the basketball card market.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just discovered this talking about it right now.
Okay.
Think about it. They have all the top guys or Nike contracts.
Dude, if you grow up and you're playing basketball, do you want to wear anything else other than Nike? There's not a ton of options. Like, all these players grew up idolizing everybody who wore Nike.
But they
don't
just sign everybody. They sign the best of the best.
It's easy. It's easy to...
Zion's Jordan brand,
which is
technically a little
different. You
don't have
to sell these guys on the Nike brand. They already... It's one of their dreams to have their own Nike shoe.
I know you don't have to sell the athlete, but I'm saying the Nike is... They don't just choose Mike Bibby. They don't just go, hey, Mike Bibby, here's a contract.
No, they probably do. They have guys who are endorsed by Nike who
don't give over $5 million a year for Mike Bibby. They may give him free shoes.
They don't need to.
They give him free shoes for the season.
They don't need to do that.
Yeah, because they only sign the best of the best.
They don't. Jeez, this is like.
So follow Nike's word and it'll directly correlate to how well cards sell, it looks like. So, and Nike. I mean, I wear Nike too. I wear Adidas though.
Do you buy shoes at your age? Do you buy shoes?
I'm an old man.
Yeah, do you buy shoes based on who wears them?
I have Durant and I have Giannis's, so yes.
How old are you?
You wear Jordans?
I wear Jordan as a brand, not because it.
And guess who signed a Jordan brand? It's Zion.
No, I don't go into the store going, is there any pictures of Jordan wearing these?
No, I don't do that. If I like the way they look, it's extra added for me to know that it's Kevin Durant's shoe because I like Kevin Durant as a player. Or
yeah.
I like Giannis as a player.
I like the way Jordans look, but I don't... I've also bought other shoes.
But it's kind of hard to put us in that category because we're not necessarily... Like, if I worked at, like... HP and I was buying. I work in the sports card industry, so I'm wearing sports card
saying,
sports guys plant shoes.
We're pretty much at the age where maybe we should start thinking about some New Balance,
some Velcro shoes.
Get out of the tying game.
Yeah, I know. I do struggle with that. Bunny ears, baby.
No, seriously. I actually have some Jordans that you don't tie them.
Yeah, well, some of them are coming out that way. So I want to just get back into the Contenders product that came out yesterday. First Zion Autos on the market. The $7,800 listing, green optic prism rookie card. You're saying that is too much.
Yes.
What do you think it should have been? If Zion was like any other year, if it was just any, he was a top player. Like he was. So who was the top player last year? Lonzo.
For a number to five on card contender. Could we do more of something that's a little bit more standard for this release? Because the contenders optic they didn't have last year.
Yeah.
So how about a base auto, the $1,000 base auto.
$1,000 base auto. Okay. So if you look,
that should be $150 auto based on, and I'm going on what.
No, because I think Lonzo was like $300 or $400 last year or 2 years ago.
Okay, but I'm going based on like Ayton last year. Or even Luka or Trae Young, those are probably $150, $200 autos.
Yeah, roundabout.
So I would say somewhere, maybe because of Zion's hype coming into it, maybe $250, $300. Not anything over $300, though. Because I would say that Lonzo, when he was in college at UCLA because of his dad, was probably even more hyped than Zion was.
Yeah, but the knock on, and we can go back to the hypes last year or 2 years ago, the knock on him was his shot. So people weren't really on the, you don't have a lot of criticism with Zion.
But he was, every sports show was talking about Lonzo. And it was mostly had to do with his
dad. But he had a hype man, yeah.
Yeah,
Zion don't have a hype man.
But I mean, there,
his game is speaking for itself.
Is it?
I didn't watch that many college games either, but dude, just watch the highlights.
I've watched a fair amount. I look at him, I'm like, that's a pretty typical power forward. I mean, I look at it, is it kind of a throwback to Larry Johnson?
I don't know.
kind of a throwback to Grandmama.
I don't think a lot of players have had the size and the strength and the speed in the combination that he has. That's the difference. Is that
Larry Johnson was and a the pretty, ability, pretty powerful force coming out
and UNLV, the ability
to running Rebels,
the ability to create and alter his shot through the paint. Like, that's one thing that he's a smart player at.
What shot?
No, if he's going up against defenders, he can get the ball in somehow, even if he's getting blocked. He's you're talking about above the shoulders. He's got that at a young age that a lot of guys don't have. The ability to alter shot, like you see Kyrie Irving go up and he does a spin and he makes a layup like crazy.
We'll see how many turnovers he has.
He could have a lot of turnovers.
Well, that's not above the shoulders. I mean, there.
This is all speculation, but everybody's completely jumped on this hype train for. Like I said, we've never seen this much hype on one single athlete since we've started.
I know we just moved past all these years. Lonzo Ball was extremely hyped. There was the countdown of when you were going to see some Lonzo Ball cards. That hype was pretty close to what we're dealing with now. But we forget about that because it was 3 years ago. We were like living in the now. So like now it's like nothing's ever been this crazy. It was pretty crazy.
Well, there's been a lot of
17-18 was pretty crazy.
There's Lonzo, a lot of stuff that led up to that. So I think, and this is just my opinion, you know, we've had so many hot years, and you can intertwine the other sports.
Would you spend $1,000 looking at it right now? Would you spend $1,000 on a Lonzo Ball Contenders base auto?
Well, of course, hindsight's 20/20.
No. Well, I mean, I'm just saying.
No.
We've seen how the hype could start here and drop down in a couple years.
Well, here's my theory on it all. 17-18, we did not have any Shohei Ohtani yet. It was kind of just starting with Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani, we had a bad football rookie class. We had a bad football year, even though it turns out to be an amazing year now with Mahomes. We were coming off Mahomes, Watson getting hurt. There wasn't anything going on in football, right? So then 18 comes around, you have Ohtani, and then in football, you have Baker, and then in basketball, you have Donovan Mitchell and Tatum coming out of that rookie class with Lonzo. And then fast forward, you got Luka. And then you got Gary Vee talking about Luka and talking about Giannis. And then you have the Trout $400,000 sale. So you've just got all this buildup to this guy now who, in any other year, he comes out 15, 16, that contender's odds is probably $300 or $400. But because we have so many new people coming in and eyeballs on this industry, that I think this is the ultimate result we have. We have a card that's ultimately
overly inflated. So you're telling me we may have an influx of, I don't want to say dumb money, but maybe not smart money.
But we don't know. We don't. That's what always, you know, that's what keeps this industry on its toes, is that we can't use past data. We can't use Lonzo Ball for the simple fact that the industry was just a completely different way.
Okay, gut feeling. There's a 90% chance that $1,000 Zion card in 3 years is not going to appreciate.
Well, and then...
I mean, and I hate to say that, but I think the... And it's not that... My one argument is that the ceiling, it's just started too high. It starts at $1,000.
Right.
So, like, really, if you get that high, there's really only one place to go at that point, and it's down.
But also, you can look at it this way. The boxes were half the price Lonzo year, too. The boxes are double the price now. And that's just because of the demand, but...
Well, that's because of the manipulation of the market of the people who are, no pun intended, holding the cards.
Well, they are, but it's supply and demand, and people are willing to pay that price for boxes. We just sold the boxes at that price. No problem. All day yesterday. So...
Are we selling cards, or are we selling lottery tickets?
Well, I'm.
Because I mean, I kind of get the vibe at that price, we're gonna have an influx of new people who are not collecting. They're playing the lottery, hoping that they're gonna hit the $1,000 card out of a $200 box.
Yeah, I mean that is true. There's probably. Well, you got to assume the people that are buying the $1,000 cards or keeping them at some point. Some of them are, but the people that are pulling them out of packs, I'd say 90% of them are selling. There's probably nobody keeping it right now. So what may kill this hype is the fact that there may be more sellers than there's going to be buyers at some point.
I mean, that's
when a card's going to go down.
Yeah.
So, but right now, this is the only product that's out. So you have a short-term window of possibly flipping these cards.
So, I mean, let's... I mean, we're probably not... We're not I mean, I knew we were going to have a podcast, and it was going to be literally about this topic. Where do we stand now? We have Hoops is the next release that's coming out. That's going to be 1920. Usually a... it is absolutely not usually. It is a base-heavy product. It's not a hit-based product. More of a team, like, set builders product. We're going to have hype with Zion. It's going to be a sticker auto. It's not going to be a thick card stock. There's not going to be anything about it. There's not going to be any flash, no flare, nothing like that. What are those cards going to sell for? Those cards, generally, in the past, are... $100 rookie
up. Well, that's why. That's where I think that you're protected. So if you're looking at the basketball calendar, like you alluded to earlier, there's still Immaculate and Flawless for 18-19 coming out. So you've got Immaculate coming out on the 13th next week, which I know you'll say is a great day. And then we have Flawless October 9th, and then we're done. We're 18-19, we're done, at least for what we know as of right now. So then on the 16th, you have Prism Draft Collegiate. Which probably won't be on card. Oh, so that's the next one.
That's the next one.
So Prism Draft Collegiate is the next one.
So we're in what, 2 weeks?
Yes.
2 weeks. So we're gonna pack this up. We're gonna do it all over again.
Well,
we're gonna like because let.
Now, to me,
I know it's not.
Let's
be
have
on
a
card.
Conversation
it's not
here.
Be on card.
Right. Would you rather have Pretenders or would you rather have Prism?
It's gonna be Prism technology. It's gonna be college based, but it's gonna look like Prism.
Yeah, but I don't think the autos are going to sell out. The parallels will.
The parallels are going to. Yeah. So they're going to have silver. They're going to be silver prism.
They're going to be silver Duke.
Silver Zion Duke. Cards. So those are going to go for a crap ton. There's going to be collectors that are going to pivot. And this is when we're going to lose interest in Contenders Draft. Is people are going to. They're going to pivot and be like, I want this card instead.
I see.
Then the Contenders Draft, now it's not going to go down to what the original map would be of like $130, but it's not going to be steady at $250, $260, $270, $280. It has to go down. There's another option now.
There is another option, but I'm thinking that Contenders is protected until they were... Because Hoops is not going to compete with Contenders.
But Prism Draft...
Prism Autos will not compete with the Contenders Autos.
They're not, no. But you're going to have people who are going to want the silvers and the parallels and the golds and all that stuff.
Of course.
We're not... Collectors don't... And people in this industry don't have unlimited amounts of monetary resources. Right. So... There's going to be people who are selling their Contenders Draft cards to buy boxes of... Draft pick contender, draft right. pick prism, whatever the hell we're calling it.
Yes.
And strap in, because there's going to be a crap ton of releases this year.
But, you know, I'm trying to give Contenders Draft people that are buying Contenders Draft some credit. It is protected for a while. I don't think it's going to be affected until, like, let's just say, I don't know when they're going to announce releases, but let's say Prism comes out in November or maybe January, probably January. They have until January for their values to kind of be protected at this point. So if they are going to flip, I don't think it's going to go down on that $1,000 auto too much.
I think the autos will be protected in Contenders Draft for the most part. I think the boxes and the cases are going to go down slightly and come back down to reality when Draft Picks Prism comes out.
And there was...
Because there's going to be people who are going to like, I want the new booty. I want the new stuff. I want this. I want the first Zion Silver Prism. And I don't care if it's college.
Now, this listing right here, I think is... I'm on board with this being a dumb purchase. So it's the draft day ticket. Non-auto, diamond parallel to 15. And it sold for $1,500.
Yeah.
That, I think, is a dumb purchase because... Like you said, you got Prism coming out. Would you rather have a Contenders, you know, foil hyperplaid parallel, or would you rather have a gold Prism?
Well, and then the thing with Prism coming out, Prism Draft, is that it's going to give everybody a peek of what theoretically Prism basketball should look like. Correct? They're not going to have two different styles of cards. Like the base cards,
you know,
I don't know. The base cards should look the same.
I'm not sure, but yeah, probably. They could do it this way. They use Contenders Draft as the same design as Contenders Draft Football. They're probably going to do Prism Draft Football as well, designed for Prism Draft Basketball. It's probably going to be the same thing, because that's what they just did. So now I don't know if that's going to be the same design that they're going to use for Prism or not.
I don't know.
There's probably mock-ups already that I haven't seen, but I'm sure. It looks like Rui Hachimura is actually a redemption, so that explains why he's not in there. One also thing is that we mentioned earlier, and I got one topic after Zion here, is it's all Zion all day, I lost my train of thought here.
Just say Zion.
Zion.
Back on track.
Zion. What I was going to talk about is we didn't pull an auto. We pulled two autos in 14 cases. Is the scarcity of Zion a good thing, or is it misleading? And I wanted to get your opinion on that.
For holding market value, it's a good thing. For collectors and chasers, it's a bad thing. But it's going to add... I mean, let's face it. It's not... The manufacturers don't do this for anybody's benefit except for their own.
Right.
The reason why the Zions are not coming out as much as Phil Booth and, you know, Luke May is because Zion is more expensive. There's more monetary resources that go into getting a Zion auto than getting, you know, all the guys who are drafted in the second round.
Yeah, and so, if this is any indication, we may see this throughout the whole year, because Contenders Draft with, like we talked about with Lonzo and we talked about with Luka, you're getting those guys almost one every case or one every other case. If you didn't get a Lonzo and an Ayton, you were getting a Lonzo in one case and an Ayton in the next case, or a Bagley in the Lonzo. You know, you weren't having to buy that many cases.
Yeah, I don't know all the details about how many Zion autos truly were produced in this product. But opening up a small sample size, what we did, 13, 14 cases, I could say pretty confidently that there is less Zion autos in this product than there are 90% of the
channel. Yeah, there's other guys that are just as hard.
There's other guys who are
like
also
Tyler Harrow and Rui Hachimura and stuff like that.
I mean, even Ja. Ja's kind of hard to hit. All the top guys that you're looking at, like, they're not coming out as much as... But, I mean, that's how you build a product. In a perfect world, if those guys all were the same price, it's based on tier to where they're drafted, and there's probably some negotiations that go along with it. But, of course, if you open up a case, you would love to get 6, 7, 8 of the top 10 guys.
Right.
Of course you would love to. If that is the case, and that does happen... The downfall to that is that happened to everybody. So everybody has those. It makes it not as special. And
right.
It makes it not as
valuable. And the reason they do it is, and you already hit it on the head, is that Zion may cost, and this is just throwing out a number, Zion may cost $200 an auto. Tyler may cost $2 an auto. So you're going to have more Tyler May autos than you're going to have to make profit. But I'm saying, from a collector standpoint, say you just got in, and we had this conversation with Five Star, I think Dynasty, so it's not just Panini that does this, they all do it. Back in the day, they used to put tiers on, I think Upper Deck used to put tiers on their boxes.
And
they don't do that anymore, so my point is
I think these manufacturers still do it, they just don't say it's tiered.
Right, which I kind of wish there was maybe some common ground, because say you're a new collector... And you are legitimately a Zion fan. You literally want a Zion auto, and you don't want to pay the eBay prices, but you can get a case for $3,000, right? Or $35, maybe pre-sold it, right? But you're looking at the checklist, and you see that there are 60 guys on the checklist, right? And so you're like, there's 72 autos in a case. In your mind, you're thinking, I'm probably going to get an auto of everybody. If you're new, if you're green. So what I'm saying is...
But you know what? The beauty of that is, and where we're at in this industry, before you make your purchase, you have an opportunity to watch hundreds of case breaks. True. Hundreds of case breaks. And you can be like, wow. Like,
be prepared.
So-and-so. I watched, like, you know, 15 case breaks of so-and-so breaker, and they pulled one Zion. But there's 72 autos and 60 guys on the checklist. Oh, that's weird. I'm going to watch. I'll watch some more. Then you start putting it together. And you're like, okay, if I buy a case, there's a good chance.
Yeah, but what about all the people that knew that this was going to be a hot property? They locked it up 2 months prior to this, and they were just because they felt like it was probably going to go up, so they wanted to lock it up, not knowing. I'm being devil's advocate here because I understand how the industry works, but maybe some of our listeners don't. And is there any way that Panini, Topps, Upper Deck, Leaf can make stuff like this transparent by saying, hey, there's, you know, is there any way, and should they make it transparent?
They should. I mean, but they are, like, they're doing their, they're doing their due diligence based on the fact that Zion's in there.
Yeah.
He is in there. You see him on eBay, he's in there. I don't think they have to specifically tell you. If you can't figure it out.
Well, then you would get the negative backlash that you would have. I counted the checklist and there's 150 Zion autos and there's 75,000 Tyler Frank autos. What gives? You know, they'd probably have to face that criticism, right? Why is there so many Tyler Frank? So, but I feel like it's like, we're kind of like, in a way, like, you know, we're selling this stuff maybe door to door and we're like not telling everybody what they're buying, in a way. That's why I feel like I wish there was a way to somehow kind of bridge the gap a little bit and maybe go back to that tiered system and say, Zion, Rui Hachimura, this dude are tier one. Like, don't expect to hit too many of those. And then tier two is blah, 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 blah. And then tier three is Tyler Frank, and you're probably going to get one of these guys in a case. Like, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if that's the solution, but I feel like there should be something out there.
You bring that conversation to the manufacturer in about a week. You sit down, and I'll sit there with you. I'll be like, Doug has something he wants to say. He's like, have you guys ever thought about maybe tiering your autos? And because that's not going to get people excited. Because the old Upper Deck products, when you would see something like that, the tiered, you would look at the tier one and go, not going to get those guys. Well, like, you instantly go into negativity. You're just like, yep, those guys are going to be pretty much impossible to hit.
So you're saying it's probably better to not know.
It's better to not know. It's better to not know for the value of the product. It's better to know for the consumer's happiness. Like, I mean, because, dude, if you put that tiered system on the back of a box, 99% of the people are going to look at it, and it's probably going to deter people from wanting to buy it.
Yeah.
There's a reason. I talked to Upper Deck. They don't do it anymore. I wonder why.
I think they actually do it on a few products.
I think they do it on a couple of the higher-end products.
And some of their older releases, yeah. They keep it the same.
But I think it's... I think there's definitely pros to doing that. I think it overall there's more cons in the industry having tiered.
Yeah.
I understand why you'd want to do it, but understand my point and how it would make people want to buy less.
Yeah, and I guess it's a kind of acceptable in this industry, but if you look at other industries and you know,
I mean, would you like for them to guarantee that you're going to get one of these guys in a case? Because Panini used to do that.
Yeah,
they used to.
But I have a different perspective.
They used to tell you, and in like an inner case, you would get like.
Yeah, I remember AJ Green. You'd get, 2011
you, there, playbook. There'd be like four or five guys, maybe six guys that you're guaranteed to get. Well, you're going to get one of them. Would you prefer if they do that? Doesn't that kind of take the fun out of ripping a case and getting a really hot case? Because you're the one who always states that you like how Topps does it, where, like, you can get just an absolute, just insane case, just crazy value. But Panini, you know how it's going to break down.
Yeah, I can see both
sides. You tear it, and you're really going to know how it's going to break down. You're basically, even before you open up the box, you look at the back of the tiers, and you're like, I'm probably going to get that guy, that guy, that guy, that guy. Why even open it?
And, I mean, to add to, before we switch on to this topic, I think their first off-the-line program, in terms of talking back about draft pick contenders here, the first off-the-line was so hard to get, and they had so much of a debacle, it actually worked out in their favor and this market's favor. because people couldn't get boxes and they wanted them so bad they were willing to pay $500 a box. So now this stuff comes out that should be around $200 a box, maybe $150 a box on a bad year, and now it's $300. It seems like a good deal compared to a $500 first off the line box, because you're getting the same amount of content. You're just not getting that exclusive parallel, and you're not getting it first because now it's out, right? So, but I wanted to talk about there was recently a Patrick Mahomes 2018 Contenders draft pick, SP variation, numbered on the front to 10. Raw. So let me put that in parentheses. Raw card, not graded, that was found to be trimmed. And it was sold through our 123 buddy. And it went for $25,000.
123 buddy?
Yeah, 123 buddy. I won't give him any press. But 123 sold as a consignment a trimmed card. So I don't know what the intention of this person that trimmed it was. Maybe they tried to get it graded and it didn't. It didn't get it. It basically, they couldn't get a good grade, so they left it raw and they sold it. But the guy on the blowout forums, Mr. 30 something, COMC, found the original 6-10, saw that it was trimmed compared. So trimmed card.
Why would you trim a card? I mean, not smart. Why would you trim a card that's numbered?
Well, you know, it could have been, we don't know the history. Maybe this was in 2017 when Mahomes wasn't selling, and let's trim it to get a 9.5 and sell it for more than we bought it for. I don't know why people trim cards. That would be the reason I would think of. You have to go on to blowouts, and, you know, they do a cut. This guy, I literally should be working for, like, the DEA or something here, something that's a, this guy's a phenomenal at investigating here. It's on under the football forum, and it is. Let's see if I can find it. I can show you how it is trimmed.
So I mean, we get back to the whole trimming thing and selling through a third party consigner. With we always circle around the same exact issue with that is there's zero accountability.
Right.
There's zero accountability for everybody involved, because our buddy 123 could just say, somebody sent me the card. All I do is I just put it up. All I'm doing is just putting the card up. I don't know. I have no idea. Everybody just wants to sit there and just play dumb and have no accountability.
So you can see there is more of a shoe there, and I think the back is the telling issue is – based on where he has the line there, based on how the line he has there. See that? So it's trimmed to try to make it centered. It's also trimmed on the bottom. So, yes, and your point, and we're not doing a video show, so you guys can't see this, but it's on blowout forums. I would urge you guys, for the sake of this industry, to stop buying cards from third-party consigners. Whether or not they're on the up and up, and I'm not saying these guys aren't on the up and up, they probably, the last thing they want to do is sell a trimmed card, but they don't know. Nobody knows if this card's trimmed. They're just getting it in the mail. This one's raw. So is he going to sit there and analyze? I mean, this guy has hundreds of thousands of listings a week. He doesn't have time to analyze every card, so he's just pumping them out. And I know how it is to be busy. We don't have time sometimes to some do little things either, so I understand he's not going to look at every card. But what that does is it allows people to, in a sense, in quotations, launder money. They have an outlet to launder their money now with no accountability. So these guys, these Gary Mosers, these alleged trimmers that are being investigated by the FBI, they have an outlet to do shady crap, and it's through third-party consigners, because then they don't have to put their name on it. They don't have any accountability.
What do you mean? What do you mean launder the money? Like, I mean, 123 gives the person their money.
Well, I'm not saying I'm using that term loosely. Launder money to me is like hiding money.
To me, it's just straight ripping people off.
Yeah, well, that's it too. But I'm saying a guy that's making laundering became laundromat. That's where the term comes from. And I'm sure I'm not giving you guys any kind of history lesson, but guys would buy laundromats and use laundromats to basically clean their money and put their money on the books as a laundromat.
Good business.
So they're
like, get back to the laundromat. It's a solid business.
These guys, I guarantee you, they are trying to sell these cards at shows for cash. And the ones they can't sell, maybe they're too high a price, like this Mahomes, they just send it to Probst. But in a perfect world, they're probably trying to sell these cards for cash.
Okay, yeah. So when Probstein sells that card sell?
For $25,000, yes.
For $25,000. Yes. That card sold for $25,000.
Yes.
So Probstein gets paid, takes his little commission.
Yep.
And he sends the rest of the money to Trimmer McTrimmerstein.
Yeah.
And he has his money now. So there's one person who loses, and they lose substantially.
The customer who
bought that card. Now, if they send it back to Probstein, is he going to give them back their money?
He'll probably resell it.
Is he going to be like, okay, here's your money, send the card back? And then does he get the card and then go, hey, Trimmer McTrimmerstein, give me back my money I gave you. I'm going to give you back the card. We're going to do a do-over.
I don't know.
Do you think that dude who trimmed that card is going to be like, cool, man?
No, yeah. Yeah, even if Probstein...
I'm pretty sure that email is gonna basically get moved to the junk box.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, even if these guys have the best intentions...
That guy knows what he did.
He knows he tried.
Well,
but here's the thing. But we don't know. Maybe
those guys are probably terrified of the blowout guys. They're just like, man, you're just like coming up and you're just pissing on my Wheaties now, bro.
But I mean,
and good for the guys who are on blowout. Like, that is a thankless job. What those guys are doing, they're not getting anything for that. You know how much time people are spending like figuring this stuff out. Do you have time to do that? What are they getting out of this? I love it. I think it's amazing. But like, it's a thankless job.
Yeah, it is. It is a thankless job, and it must interest him because he keeps doing it. You know,
no, I mean, it's a great thing, and I mean, I just
and I don't want to pat ourselves on the back. I more want to pat the people that are doing group breaks the right way, because, and I want to come up with this plan. I was going to try to come up with it as a business plan, but I think there's a way for us. And you know, I know not all products are digested in group break format, but the beauty of what group breakers do is that the case is opened on camera. The case is opened live. There is no alteration going on from that card coming out of the pack to being shown to the customers on the screen. I think that if a couple of us big group breakers can come up with a way to seal the card and authenticate it, that it came out of the box this way, and the seal is put on the magnetic, or however we decide to encase them for these big cards, that the seal is put on that, and now that is preserved, and you have transparency, stuff that you don't get from Beckett or PSA. You don't get any transparency.
So it's kind of like a pre-grade. It's like basically showing that this card
has not been tampered or altered.
Has not been tampered with or altered.
Right. You know, I'm thinking there's somewhat, I'm not saying necessarily market, I don't even know, this is just an idea that I had, that the card is shown on camera, the card is then put in a magnetic and then put a tamper-proof seal on it, and now that card is not only, you can't fake the patch, you can't, and you know, if this thing takes off and there's a bunch of the bigger breakers that use this system, then customers later on down the line can rest assured that this is the position this card came in. This card came out of the pack this way. There's a video of it. YouTube has videos forever, so the video will never go away unless YouTube goes under, which I can't foresee that happening. And you've got proof that that's the way that this card came out. And that's what the beauty of, you know, people may talk all kinds of crap about group breakers, and yeah, we are maybe raising the market on product because there's so much product being opened up now because it's online. But it is purely one of the most transparent ways to get away from this trimming and raw scandals that are going on.
For the guys who do it the right way.
Right. Yeah, and I'm not saying, yeah, there could be some guys that do this the wrong way, too.
We've seen it in the past. We definitely have seen it in the past.
But I think short term, we all got to stop buying cards from third-party consigners.
We have.
We don't buy from PWCC and we don't buy from Probstein anymore. It makes it hard to buy cards, believe me, because they have some nice ones.
It does. And I mean, I've almost bid on some recently. Some Probstein auctions, and I remember about, you know, 8 weeks ago when there was already the transparency issue that I had with the third party consigners, but it was the final straw was a Tyler Skaggs.
Yes. Deceased.
Yeah. Listing. And I going forward, I absolutely encourage everybody to not buy a card from a third party consigner.
And I'm not saying these guys are bad guys and they're probably, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, they're trying to make an honest living, and I hate to say this, but the people that are sending them the cards have so many options to basically scam. And that's, and you have a mailing list that these guys have. You have possibility of shill bidding going on. You have possibility of trimming. There's too many ways.
There's too many things that go on that are, they're not good for the growth of this industry and the transparency of this industry.
Yes. And just we're in a really good market for this right now, and that's why you're seeing a lot more of it, because there's so much money to be made. A $25,000 Patrick Mahomes card raw that just sold. I mean, $100,000 possible Zion that's on eBay.
My issue with that is, I mean, that the poor collector that paid $25,000 for that card,
and we don't even know. And maybe that might fall back on, like, Beckett and PSA, too, that they maybe should be logging that in, because I'm assuming that this person trimmed it to get a better grade. So I'm assuming it got turned down or got a lower grade.
Yes.
There should be some kind of documentation,
there should, too. We got to be able to figure out a way to have a very specific, high-definition photo of every card that gets sent to these grading companies.
Well, there's actually another guy that's, I just thought of that. I was looking at it. There was a Steph Curry that was graded RPA, $30,000 RPA, Steph Curry 910 NT with a ridiculous patch. There was three different times this thing was graded with three different patches, and it was trimmed like twice.
Dude!
And it's a serial numbered card. So this guy's been tweeting out Beckett saying, like, you know, I understand you can't do it for the $5 cards, but, like, if there's a card that's at a perceived value of, like, $30,000, Steph Curry, one of the bigger names in basketball, and it's been run through you guys three times, there should be some, like, red flag error. Like, you guys should somehow keep track of this.
They need to.
Hey, let's raise the price of grading, and let's get a good grading system in place. Like, then you won't be as busy. You won't be as busy, and I know you guys don't want to hear that, but I'm just thinking out loud. Like, maybe it's too cheap to grade, and they get too many graded too submissions. Too cheap,
because if you do the non-guaranteed turnaround, you're looking at, like it's like something crazy.
But it's tricky.
It's like 12 to 16 months. It's tricky. Months.
So you could maybe have, like, if it's a $30,000 card, maybe it's got to be more, because they do that extra level of service on it, but then that's all perceived value anyway. So
perceived
how do you
value,
do that?
So,
like I said, I'm thinking out loud. People are probably like, no, I don't want to pay more. I already got to wait longer. And I get that. But
they already put in the POP report, they're already doing some type of data entry.
Yeah.
So
maybe a fast scan of it.
Why can't there be, when you're looking at the card and you're grading it with your magnifying glass and non-ruler, because I don't think they use rulers, why can't it take a photo?
Right.
Why should it take a photo anywhere? For issues based on, like, loss prevention, what if it's a $30,000 Steph Curry card, and you have a disgruntled employee who's about ready to bounce anyway, and he's just like swipe and just
jacks it. That's another good point. I wonder how,
like, what, why is there nothing in place to, like, take a photo of the card? Like, these guys or girls like have to be on camera dealing and touching with these cards that are worth so much.
Right.
So there has to be some... I can set it up to where it takes a photo of every card that comes on somebody's workbench.
Right.
Come on!
Or they should have to put in, like, Steph Curry.
But they're
16
already,
of 30 or whatever it is.
They're already putting that in.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So then maybe it should be like, boop, there was already one graded. And then look at it and be like, whoa, that's a different patch. Oh, that's, I could tell that it's been trimmed or something.
It should have a photo along with the...
Well, my other thing I just thought of too is that how do these guys, you know, we deal with perceived value. If USPS loses a logo man of LeBron Jordan, LeBron James... And our buyer thinks it's our guy that hit in a break, thought it was, you know, he paid $60 and he got a $30,000 card, let's just say. Use the extreme example. That gets lost in the mail, and we insured it. We're not going to get $30,000 back from USPS.
No, we're not going to,
even if we insured it, because perceived value, it's looked at like art. Mm-hmm. They won't. None of the major shipping companies will insure art. So when you guys ask us if we can insure your card, it's basically like throwing away money because it's not worth anything. But I wanted to relate it to Beckett. So what do they do? What do they do? I'm sure there's been, I mean, they deal with hundreds of thousands of dollars of shipments that they're basically making $40 on or $50 on every time. What happens when they lose those cards or the post office loses those cards? What do they do? Do they give the guy $30,000?
I don't know.
That's a question that I'm definitely interested in.
I know they ask for a perceived value of your full shipment.
Yes.
And they do their
charge based on that.
And they do their insurance. That's what they're
So maybe they have their in-house insurance that you're paying for that if it doesn't
maybe.
That's
it,
probably what it is.
They could have their own insurance.
Yeah. So if you
but I mean, how many hoops did you have to jump through to get your $30,000?
I don't know, that's a good question. Well, I don't know if this is going to record past an hour on this this iPad device. So I think that's all we got today. Next week, we will be back for episode 106. We will be live. Check out the schedule. We do have more contenders draft. Also, I want to urge you guys for the Pastime Marketplace XL case. We still have the sign up going on. So go on mojobreak.com. Go to the free break link at the top of the website and fill that out and win that awesome graded case that Pastime Marketplace gave to us to give away to you guys. So, and if you just want to buy one, you can go on pastimemarketplace.com and look at their different sizes. They hold your cards. It's a nice case that you can put graded cards in, and it's awesome. You can watch the episode 104 and you can see the case. It's awesome. So check that out. And we've got a big football break coming up Monday, guys. 55 box football. It's a doubleheader. I'm super excited for football. And, man, I was just thinking, one more comment before we go. I was just thinking about 16, 17, 18, and, you know, just, I know you guys are doing your fantasy drafts, and just thinking about the rookies that are in those last three classes. I mean, it's insane. You got Goff, you got Wentz. You go to 17, and obviously we've got Mahomes, Trubisky, Watson. You got Kamara. You got McCaffrey. You got Fournette.
Barkley.
You got Barkley. Well, Barkley's in 18. You got Mayfield. There's like the last 3 years of products are insane. Like, and then we've got this year, you know, and you've got a lot of promise with the guys that are coming out this year. It's been a pretty great 4 years of football products. So, and we're going to see that on the field this year. And I think their football is going to be one of the most, I know this sounds so super cliche, but there's just so many storylines this year, and there's so much youth into the league. I know we were like, when Manning was retiring, everybody was like, who's going to be the next Manning? This is the end of an era, you know. You got so much talent right now, and they're at the beginning of their careers. It's exciting. It's exciting to be a football fan. It's exciting to watch tonight's game. So I'm picking the Packers tonight, by the way. I think the Packers are going to win by a field goal at the end of the game.
The Bears are favored to win.
They are. They are favored to win, but you got Aaron Rodgers.
So. Yeah, I think it's in Chicago. I think the game's
in Chicago.
So
yeah.
I'm definitely going Bears.
You know, they've been really
I think Trubisky's gonna light it up tonight. I got him on one of my leagues, and I don't have him in the lineup. So
the
only thing I got is
I have Aaron Jones. I have no other players in any of my leagues except for Aaron Jones.
I'm thinking about maybe throwing Mr. Biscuit in there.
Just to give you something to watch tonight.
Well, I mean, who's he got catching the ball? You got A-Rob.
Got A-Rob. They have he's back, by the way. They have Ant Miller over there, right? Anthony Miller.
Yeah, maybe I won't put him in.
Yeah. Who's their tight end?
Trey Burton,
that's right.
Yeah.
But they do have everybody's expecting big things out of David Montgomery. So this next week, we may be talking about the hype of David Montgomery.
If he has
100 yards today,
tell me right
and
now,
he's on prime
David,
time.
Does David Montgomery catch the ball out of the backfield?
He does.
He does?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, so, we'll talk about him next week.
No, I'm saying this might be, remember that first game when Randall Cobb had that 100-yard run back? Randall Cobb's card shot up. The Thursday night primetime game for this hobby is about David Montgomery tonight. So we'll see what he does. Packers don't really have a rookie. They do, but they don't have a rookie that's going to make an impact. So, but I'm super excited for football.
What
so.
About if you have a little Marquez Valdez-Scantling and the other guy?
Geronimo Allison.
Yeah.
Well, they also have Devontae Adams, right?
Yeah, but his
stuff's gone up a little
bit. His cards are already pretty high, but I don't know. We'll see.
See. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week.
Episode. Visit mojobreak.com for more info and your break spot. And we will see you next time on